Speaking of Devin and Brian sexually harassing people, today we're going to discuss variants.
A different
deviance.
A different. That's variance is a different form of harassment.
Yeah. So yeah, last time I was out here, Richard and I talked about crossovers, and you actually announced and requested that this time we were going to talk variants.
Yes, I did.
You still up for that?
Let's talk about them. Let's talk about variants. Even though I, as a store owner, I have to have separate views, I guess, as a store owner versus collector, or if I was on the other side of the register. But in truth, the easiest part of it is there's way too many of them. They have lost their importance. And sadly, they lose their value also that way. Every week you cannot have 10 different variant comics coming out from all the different publishers. And I addressed this with Marvel and DC when I was out at San Diego. Both of them seemed interested. You know, from their standpoint, I understand why they do it. They market a variant book. For example, maybe like one of the Batman RIPs, for every 25 or 50 copies of that particular issue I buy, I can buy one variant. That encourages me, in their thoughts, to purchase more of the regular comics so I can have opportunities to buy more variants. And, you know, I have to, as a business, I buy them. And happy to sell them, of course, but I'm also just as happy to tell folks, don't. Mm-hmm. You know, pick the cover you like. Don't buy the variants for value.
Yeah, buy it if you really like it.
If it's something, if it's just something that just really commands your attention, such and you're really thrilled at it, yeah. You know, don't buy it. They put out, you know, every issue can't be a significant story that would require a variant cover.
And now we differentiate between variants and like 50-50s.
Correct. Now, 50-50 covers, I'm actually fine with the 50-50 covers on a book that'll come out with two covers. That gives the opportunity for the customer to pick either one they want, or perhaps and buy both. And even if they buy both, then they're still just paying cover price. So, granted, there still may not be a big value lesson there, but you're not losing a lot by spending, you know, $20 on a variant that still may not be worth $2 or $3.
I don't know. I guess the thing that what I don't understand sometimes is why do the 50-50, and some of them are 25-25-25. We see some issues where they have four different variant covers.
Yeah, Red Sonja.
What's the difference with that? And, I mean, why is one variant cover more special that you're going to have people spending three times the cover charge the same day it's released, and then others are just the companies view them as just an alternate cover that's no different? I guess I don't understand where the difference comes in.
Well, the difference is, we'll say like Final Crisis, for example. Final Crisis is a good example, I guess. Each one of the Final Crisis books so far has come out with two different covers.
Right.
Each customer comes up there has a choice. They can purchase either of the two they want. Now, in all honesty, I sell a lot. When it's 50-50, I have a lot of customers that will buy both covers. Mm-hmm. It keeps their collection complete. It's not adding up an extreme amount of cost, but at the same point, if Final Crisis had a
You do make fun of those people when they leave the store, don't you?
No.
Well, I make fun of John. John is one of them.
Yes. John Gilstrap buys everything. Richard's shouldn't, child. But he does. But anyways, he has a child coming. He shouldn't buy all these variants. Oh, poor guy. Actually, poor child. However, yes. Back to the storyline. The difference between the 50-50 variants, for a marketing standpoint, I sell more books. For the variant cover, the other side of that coin, I typically only get one or two copies. So yeah. I can only make one or two customers happy even then. You know, and I'm still selling something that I don't necessarily agree upon as far as the value. I have to assign, if I have to spend 50 buy 50 copies of the regular issue, then I can't sell the variant book
for the
cover.
Same price. And plus it's something that we discussed off air, is it's not just a matter of what you have to spend to get that issue. It's also a matter of, because it's going to be so few, it automatically has collectible value.
Right. It assigns a value to itself. Yeah, it assigns a value to it initially, and to some extent, if they wouldn't do so many of them, it might retain some value. But the problem is, there's a wall behind Adam and Brian here now. Yeah. It's got 50, 60 different variants, and these are only the ones from the last few months. And every one of these can't hold their value. It's just impossible. If there was only two or three for the last several months, then it's possible. You know, new books.
It's not just special issues anymore. Yeah. It's, you know, issue 8 of Wolverine whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Kubert makes a guest appearance in the book and does his own cover. Like I say, if it was the first appearance of some of the major characters or a major event that happened, you know, the Batman RIP, maybe for the very first issue that started that storyline could have a variant. But every Batman issue is having the variants, and every one isn't going to be significant.
Not only that, but some with the Batman, when some of them are doing 50-50 and a variant.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen where, like, you have the Alex Roth cover, the Tony Harris cover, and then they'll do sketch covers for both of them as incentive variants. That's just...
The black and white or whatever.
Give me the issue with whatever cover.
Right. Yeah. And I understand for the marketing extent. I understand why the publishers are doing it. I just don't agree with it.
Let me ask you this. Being like you were saying that they can't possibly hold their value as variant covers.
Not all of them.
If you have to buy 25 issues of something to get the variants, I understand the variant being, okay, maybe a $20 book at first off. But if you sell all 25 copies of that book, doesn't that lower the value of the variant?
In possible theory, I understand what you're saying. It does fix it to where then that book is kind of gravy to me as a retailer.
Right.
The book is still as limited as it was before.
Right.
There's still, out of every 25 copies of that title, there's still only one of this particular issue. It's, let's be honest, you know, I tell folks all the time, the new books here on the wall, including the new variants, are to be read, enjoyed. Mm-hmm. You might as well take care of them because it doesn't hurt, but value-wise, it's going to be such a long-term issue. Mm-hmm. Today than what we had, you know, years ago. You know, the books from the 50s and 60s are today worth money. But that's 40, 50 years ago.
And nobody
kept them. Nobody held on to them. They didn't understand, you know, possible value in the books. So, yes, they're worth money. Today, well, anything from late 60s, early 70s, nobody throws away anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's bags and boards. There's comic boxes. Supply is very heavy. Demand is not that high for the newer books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to say there's some hit-or-miss books out there. There's a few titles running around, you know, Kick-Ass, Lock and Key, a few other titles out there that due to their short, War Heroes is probably going to be one that's coming up now, are going to have some short-term value. Even Marvel Zombies, the original series, that has probably got some good value for their first series.
Mm-hmm.
It's as long as the book is still in print or the stories are being created, the books continue and maintain their value. Once Lock and Key eventually is run its arc and is no longer done, or War Heroes or whatever, those books slip into obscurity and they're done. You know, new books on the wall today to have long range value may have to be held for 100+ years.
Yeah.
It may be your kid's kid that may potentially profit after it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to guarantee it.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you know, people all the time ask me, you know, such and such book can be worth money. And my answer to them, if I knew that for a fact, I'd just keep them.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't put them out for sale. I have no idea, you know. Yeah. There are books in the store that I would consider investment books.
Mm-hmm.
But majority of the books in here are for reading, pleasure, enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Then take care of them. You know, I always have to take care of them because I don't know.
How do you price a variant?
Some of it's just guesswork, to be perfectly honest with you. And I'm pricing them less and less than what I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Just because to show folks, to some extent, the relative value of them, they're just worth less. When I first started up the business, it was very few variants being done. And in some cases, these retailer variants or these other special books hit the, you know, couple hundred dollar mark range.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the typical variants, $10 to $20. A lot of the stuff I brought back from San Diego, I put just $5 or $6 on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my goal is to sell through, and I don't think they have the long-range profit, but I don't know that.
I was going to go off of that real quick. When you do price it, you said it's kind of guesswork. I mean, do you look at, like, how many do I have to order to get it? What's the likelihood of this to actually sell? Do you, like, look at things like that, or you just
Well, there is some
guess?
Criteria to it. If it is, if it's like a 1 out of 20 book, then it may be a $10 book. If it's 1 out of 50, 1 out of 100, like some of the variants are, then you're hitting in the $50 range.
But if it's a book, if it's a book that you're probably going to sell,
if it's a variant that I'm either going to sell for sure, or if it's the I'm not going to sell most of the regular books,
uh-huh.
then I can be more flexible with the price.
Yeah.
It depends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've got regular customers here that, even though I try to explain, you know, that do purchase the variants consistently. Well, those guys, if it was a $50 variant, you know, I'll cut them a price break on it. They're continuing to buy them.
Right.
It's taking some of the risk off me.
Because
I know I'm going to sell it. Yeah. So I give them a break on the price.
So
if
then,
it's on the wall, it just depends.
So something like a, some sort of like a Frazetta book, like creatures with like the alternate, the variant cover by Nat Jones.
That's the cool one.
I mean, that Frazetta books aren't books that you sell high numbers of. Do you know how many you had to order to get that?
I believe
that
50.
Variant? 50? Do you sell nearly that many?
To be truthful,
variant,
the regular issues.
Frazetta books?
That is such a yes. In the long run, yes. But I'll tell you the truth, they'll stay on the wall for several months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will mention this to anybody that might want that sketch cover that thinks the initial price is perhaps a tad high from looking at it.
If like maybe two, like, of the two of the three people that are dollar bin people at the table.
Perhaps. If they would like to purchase 50 of the regular issue at their normal discounted price, then I would sell them that at the cover price. And we could go with that deal. That way they wouldn't have to spend the outrageous amount for the variant. Simply purchase it the same manner I did.
I thought maybe you'd at least go with the, if you buy the other 50, I'll give you that one for free. But no, it's if you buy that 50,
I'm going to play it as up, straight, and as fair. You know, that's something that, in all honesty, you could bring up as a haggle type deal. You know, this is just like any other comic shop out there. No price is completely engraved in contract. Some of them are a little, you know, deeper than others. Yeah, go buy 50 copies and then talk to me about why am I not getting this.
Well, whereas, like,
that mean I can haggle with you for prices on new comics?
Sure.
Well, I was going to say, whereas new comics and just off-the-shelf comics, they all have a price printed on them, and that is what they sell for. And granted, most shops, most, give some sort of discount because they do get them cheaper.
Correct.
But should. A variant, the price is basically set by the shop. It's
that is
not,
correct.
It has nothing to do with what's
it's set by
on
the
there.
Shop and the market. I don't think you could take a variant book that was one out of every 10 books and, you know, you've got 10 of them in the store and put $100 on each of them. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to sell them. So you're going to have to price it due to the variant. And I'll even take into some consideration, you know, the different individual books, like some of the Transformers. I'm trying to look at some of the books up on the wall. Some Doctor Who classics that I don't sell a lot of copies of, but for every 10 copies of that book, I get a variant copy. Mm-hmm. Well, then I may only put $5 on it and just be happy if and when somebody wants that particular
cover. Also, something that you kind of alluded to is that some of the stuff is very much in doubt if you're going to get rid of the regular, much less the variant. So I'm sure to a certain extent you price that one less, hoping it'll go more than if it's something that, well, you know, I have a large Batman readership.
Right.
You know, this particular cover, I know that I can sell it eventually. So if it's a little if this might be a little higher, I'm not worried about getting rid of it because it'll gain its value.
Right. There are some variants that come out that I know that I'm not going to have any issues getting rid of. They're done. It's just a thing. It's going to happen. But no, it is a risk. Now, I'll be honest, when I try to do my orders, I try really not to increase my order amount by a great deal in order to pull the variant. If I'm already ordering 45 copies of the book, and Marvel or DC come out and says, hey, for every 50 copies, you get a variant, you can buy this exclusive variant. Well, yeah, I'm going to go out and buy the other 5 copies. But if I'm only ordering 20 copies, and they say for every 50, I can turn around and get a variant. Well, then I'm not.
Yeah.
The Uncanny X-Men number 500, they have some sketch cover variants that for every 100 or 200 copies I bought, I could buy one of those. Well, I didn't get any sketch covers. I didn't think I needed 200 of the variants.
Did you sell out of those? Do you still have
the Uncanny? I still have them. They're still at my store.
Heroes aren't hard to find sold out of them. Just kind of,
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know how many they ordered.
I don't know either. And it may be different locations pulled in different books.
This is related, but not exactly on topic.
Right out Brian's.
Is this I'm holding something obviously the readers can't listen.
Look at this book.
Can't look. But
it's the Michael Turner tribute book. It is a
is that
the
a San
interior
Diego?
Is Fathom One, yes.
Oh, so the interior is a regular book, but they did this specifically for.
Now, that book particular may not be – they may be taking it to all their conventions.
Okay, but
I don't know.
You
it
got
doesn't
it
have a
San
Diego.
Diego
logo on it, but I did get it at San Diego. The ones that are specifically for San Diego will have a little Comic-Con logo on them.
Okay.
But even then, some of the publishers may take – if they did not sell through, may take and sell them at, you know, Wizard World or whatever the next convention they do.
The question that I have about this, I guess, more specifically is – for somebody like Turner, who has just recently passed and has a lot of work out there,
correct.
Have you seen a jump up in people having interest in not just maybe things he's done, but things that you might have that has his signature on it?
I did when he did pass, and I hated to see him go, but yes, anything that I had in the store at that point in time, pretty much it was signed by Michael Turner, sold very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, once again, it's people's choice. The reality of it is Michael Turner was very prolific, did a lot of artwork, did a lot of things, and he signed a lot of stuff. He was very good at these shows, even though you knew he perhaps wasn't feeling well. He was in a wheelchair the last couple of conventions I went to.
Right.
He was
notorious for sitting there for hours and signing.
He sat at the booth and signed, did sketches for folks. He was an extremely nice person. You know, not only did we lose somebody with some great talent, we lost really a nice guy.
Yeah.
Now, there's other folks out there that are equally, you know, good artistically and equally, you know, nice about doing the stuff. But it's just a shame to lose one.
Marvel paid a really nice tribute to him in all their books this week, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody should.
I thought that was very class of them doing that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, he did some very noteworthy stuff for DC. DC should have
big
something
city,
like that
big
as well.
Big City Comics did a big, yep, big thing city in theirs too. As well.
Yeah, and I wasn't even aware that he worked with them, but apparently they knew of him, obviously.
I don't think he didn't work with them. But
a lot of the companies,
I mean, everybody's been touched.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people knew that Michael Turner was a nice guy. He was just a very nice guy. He's a very talented guy. Granted, in the recent years, he didn't get to do that many full books. He did mainly covers, and I think that was due to his illnesses and what he could commit to and what he couldn't.
Yeah, what he could churn out and what he couldn't.
But he's definitely going to be missed for some of the stuff. But
that's the only
we lose people all the time. Sadly.
That's the only person recently I can think of. I mean, like for regular for non visual books, if somebody dies, first editions will automatically spike to a certain extent. I was kind of wondering if that same thing was true for comics.
And it did, but the reality of it is, there's a lot of stuff out there signed by Michael Turner.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff. I don't think the supply will ever even hit the demand for that, but initially everything does. That goes for like celebrity deaths or whatever. Everybody starts trying to collect as much stuff as they can about that particular celebrity.
Yeah.
But, man, they may have signed for years. But overall, variants are done to too high of a degree. There's too many variants out there. If the different publishing companies want to put emphasis on variants and try to get people to make them, be collectible and get people's interest up, they need not do as many of them. Make them more of a special instance, a rare instance.
Do you think that they should also cut some of the, say, 50-50s?
No, actually, I'm really for the 50-50s. The 50-50s allow me as a retailer to sell more books, and it puts more choice within the customer's hands whether they want to buy both or either one. I prefer, instead of, each company can do, 5-10 variants a year if they want to, or some small number than what they're doing today.
Right.
But increase the 50-50s. Instead of doing the variant out of one out of every 20 or whatever, simply reprint the cover more and put it on more books and let people choose which one they want.
Yeah,
it's weird. The only difference between a 50-50 and a variant is the 50-50s, the cover B has more printings of. Right. I mean, it's not like it costs anymore. I mean, because instead of printing, with a 50-50, you're still printing the same numbers. You're just printing fewer of one kind. Right. I mean, you still got to pay the cover artist the same kind of thing like that.
And also, a lot of companies, too, to kind of continue that trend, when something sells out and they reprint, the reprintings will have different covers.
Yeah. Which is smart for them. I like doing the different covers better than what they used to do, just a little part of the indicia down there at the bottom.
Second or third edition.
It's too difficult to tell which one was which.
Yeah, like,
too many people fooled.
Captain America 25, the second printing of that
was
actually
good,
a cooler cover,
cover
than any of the original.
Sometimes they have a nicer one on the second. So I'm much more the 50-50 books for me, for like a standard order. If I did a normal title at 50 copies, if I see it's going to be a 50-50, I automatically bump it to 65-70 because I will have several of my customers that'll buy one of each of the two covers.
Suckers.
Yeah. And sometimes they fit together to make a larger image.
I prefer them
to do that for a marketing standpoint. Mm-hmm. That, to me, that's smarter on the publisher.
Because then you're even grabbing people that don't buy every cover just so they can put the things together.
Right. I much prefer the 50-50 type covers versus the variants. They could do all of them 50-50.
I am really in favor, too, of offering multiple covers. I think it's a good idea. But the not knowing why one is worth more or better than the other. I don't view myself as someone that collects for collection's sake.
I don't throw
my books away, so therefore I am a collector because I keep them. Mm-hmm. But I don't buy things specifically because, like you said, you don't know what the value is. You should buy it for your entertainment.
Right.
So I like having choices, but from a collectible standpoint,
I'm happy to tell that to anyone that comes in to ask questions about the variants.
Yeah
I'm really pissed off about that Nat Gen sketch cover.
But I told you how to get
it. Yeah, why couldn't it be a variant?
If
you wanted
that,
it to $2 or $3 cost,
a 50-50.
And that's a 50-50 with the variant cover. That's one of those instances. Yeah. One of the things that kind of off of that is one thing I've been seeing, and you'd see it better than I do, but the smaller publishers are definitely pushing variants a lot more than
the
bigger
marketing
publishers
thing
are.
Once again, the reason why they're doing it is to sell more issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right. Once again, like I said, if I'm ordering 45 copies and I find out for 50 I can get this special variant, I bump my order up 5 more copies. If it's just a few of a number, I'll order it. But if it was a significant increase, then I don't.
Yeah.
Like IDW.
And as far as the sketch cover goes,
crazy.
For that book there, I think Nat Jones is local. Can't you talk to him directly and find out why he did that to you?
Well,
IDW.
Matt, if you're listening, you have an unhappy individual here.
I give you a shirt.
IDW, to a certain extent, it's really smart for them to do it. because a lot of their licenses are already built in for people who buy collectibles anyway.
Right.
You know, if you're a Transformers fan, then you're probably buying toys and gadgets and stuff like that. So you'll buy multiple copies
and
of the comic.
You know, and the Whedon Legion. You know, all the stuff that they buy. Like, I mean, because I get Angel and Spike from IDW for
IDW for even does it better than that. If you want to pick on different publishers, IDW's deal is if you buy the 10 copy level or the 25 copy level, whatever, their variants are free.
Nice.
They're using them literally to encourage retailers to order more comics, but they don't charge you for that particular variant. Whereas Marvel or DC, they still want you to bump up to those levels, but then you have to buy the variant.
Well, plus, does that mean if it's a 50 variant, is that number 50 that's the variant or 51 that you buy? If like you have to buy 50 to get the variant.
Well, I don't think the variant counts into the numbers.
Yeah,
so I have to buy 50 copies of the regular book,
and then
I can buy one of the variants if it's a 50.
That's what I was asking.
Okay. Okay.
Also, you make kind of a good point with some of the
I've made several with some of the smaller
ones.
We won't add them all up.
They don't produce enough comics a month as much as the other ones. So by doing variant covers, it gets them more space on the shelf.
And like I said, it doesn't really cost them much more to do that either.
Well, some of the covers, you know, some of the variant covers are basically the non-colored version of the regular cover, so that doesn't cost
colors.
Them anything at all.
The harder variants are the ones like Buffy you brought up for a minute ago or whatever. Buffy does one out of every four books is a different copy. Now, for those instances, those particular
almost
variants,
almost 50-50.
One out of four are like 25.
Well,
whichever.
Like 20%.
But anyways, whatever our math limits here.
But a 20,
let me finish my point. But those particular books are so difficult because I guess if I had to put a value on them to put them on the wall, I'd sell them for, you know, maybe twice what a regular one is. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, since I have enough Buffy subscribers, I pull all those one of four variants out, and they go to the subscribers first. Now, if the subscriber would rather have a regular one instead, and I got a couple of them that do, they're free to switch them.
That makes sense.
But they get first shot at them.
I pretty much grab the painted covers for Buffy.
Yeah, because those don't cost me anything more to buy. They're just popped in there.
Yeah. I pulled another one off the wall that, again, nobody can look at. But
I hope you're putting it back.
At the price tag, I will be, unfortunately.
Let me tell you the way to get that one for free, too.
Well, this one I'm going to give some, you know, some props to. Because number one, it says on it that it's one of 5,000,
okay.
So you immediately know that you have some collectability with it.
Okay,
but it also is a part of two charity
pieces
too. So not only is it you know that it'll be worth something, but you're also buying it for a higher cause as well, and that's Serenity, Better Days, Josh Whedon stuff.
Through Dark
and it was
Horse.
On the Comic Con.
Yeah,
it was one of the Comic Con exclusives.
So kudos for that.
That kudos and a quarter will get them a cup of coffee.
Are there any variants out there that you like?
I like some of the photo ones, the photo variants that they do.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite ones have been the Ghost Whisperer variants.
I bet.
But unfortunately, none of those have hit the wall for sale.
Show continuity.
All of those have seemingly, I guess actually I do collect some comics. All of those have seemingly found their way to my collection. So I have sold
dresser
no ghost,
door right next to the bed.
Yeah, so I have sold no Ghost Whisperer. That'll probably be another edit. But actually, I took them all on the hopes that initially Jennifer Love Hewitt was listed to be at the Inkworks booth. She ended up having to cancel for whatever reason, even though I had five copies of a book to sign that she'd only signed one of probably anyways. But since I was friends with the Inkworks guys, I was hoping that was going to happen. But they ended up bringing in Jamie Kennedy instead.
Oh, wow.
Which was whoopee. But no offense, Jamie, but hey, Jamie Kennedy, Jennifer Love Hewitt, you make the call.
With variant toys, is the pricing kind of the same situation with that? Because, I mean, you have sometimes where they're...
Mary Marvel.
Yeah,
the difference with the variant toys is every week I don't have 50 of them.
Right.
So there are variant toys out there that do have the price differences, but they're nowhere near being produced as great a number. So there's more of an opportunity. They're a little scarcer, so it's a little bit more valid trying to find them, you know, as far as the price goes. But even then, I don't price extreme.
One of the things, like kind of as I was mumbling a little bit, is you had the Mary Marvels. I remember you had one. The original was in the red costume, and then the variant was in the white costume. I think
I believe correct.
There's some figures I remember seeing, and I think the white costume was marked up like
$2 or $3.
$3 or something. And now, granted, I mean, with a comic, you're looking at marking up something from $2.99 to like $15-$20, but with the toys you're looking at marking something like $15 to like $18 or
Well, and the difference with the toys, especially the Mary Marvel one, for example, when you buy the toys, I can buy a case, a sealed case. A sealed case contains one of each of the figures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can buy them individually, but there's all, well, I won't say always, there's typically in some of these cases one figure, the white Mary Marvel was the exception this time,
mm-hmm.
that I could not buy individually. The only way to get the white Mary Marvel one
mm-hmm.
was to buy the sealed case. Now, for the customers that came through the store that bought the full set, I offer a package deal for buying them all. And, yes, and it doesn't matter that there's a variant one in there. If you're buying all of them in there, you get the package deal, and the variant gets no extra price. But if I open the master case up here and somebody just wants that white Mary Marvel,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to pay $2 or $3 more because I might end up holding on to the other ones for a while longer if but I don't have the complete set.
This can be that can be a tricky situation for you, too, because a lot of times what they'll do is they'll make the figure that they view is going to be the most sought after
sure.
as that chase mm-hmm. figure. So you have to continue to buy...
And that's a marketing ploy. You know, in their shoes, I would do that. The difference is, versus the comics, is it's not done anywhere near, you know, there's a set of figures that comes out every other month.
Yeah.
You know, once a month or whatever, I may get a set of figures out. And not all of them have the variant figures in them. Not all of them have something you can't get. But it's rare enough that it doesn't happen, you know, so it's not a big deal with it.
I guess the thing to me that sometimes that I bump into with that being odd for me is... If I know that that's going to be the sought after, I would want that to be the one that I sold the most of because I think you're putting retailers in a kind of a pickle where, you know, maybe that series isn't going to be a big seller.
Right.
Or maybe even worse, it's got a couple of duds
mm-hmm.
that you look at and it's like, well, you know, that may be good looking, but people aren't going to buy it. So I don't want to be stuck with six of those still on the shelf. Because I wanted the more popular ones. I would think that they would want the more popular ones to be more readily available so they could sell 10,000 of them instead of 5,000 of them.
Right. And I agree. It just depends on how they do the figure for that particular, you know, assortment.
Yeah.
And it's up to the retailer to make that call. Now, like, I don't know how the other stores literally do it. Like, for figures, I do pre-orders. You know, if somebody wants to reserve a figure set or even an individual figure prior to them being shipped, especially if they can do it during that current month of previews,
right.
then I write them on the list so I know how many to order. And then I order a few extra, perhaps, depending upon what I think will sell. So I get to sell. I sell the reserve ones to the guys that really want them. The guys that want them, get them.
Yeah.
And then the other guys are just going to take, you know, whatever chance they can that I may or may not have got some extras.
I always forget when that stuff's coming out. Plus they're always...
There's a magazine called Previews that's an excellent... magazine.
Yeah, the Dollar Bin staff's no longer allowed to look at previews.
I heard that story.
But also sometimes, like, it seems like DC Direct in particular is kind of sketchy about when they say it's going to be released and when it's actually going to come out.
I believe there's a scheduling issue with everything that any of these companies, Marvel, DC, DC Direct. You know, I almost hate giving people, you know, estimated delivery dates because rarely are they met. And it really depends. The more popular the book, the more tendency to be late. And we won't even bring up All-Star Batman and Robin again.
Well, we won't bring that up for several reasons.
Yeah, actually, we won't bring it up for at least a year when the next issue
comes
out.
I can't say my normal Frank Miller line, but since we are in the clean environment of Richards.
But you guys know.
Yeah, but you should know by now.
But that's all I got to say about the variants. Really, if anybody wants to...
Thank God.
Thank you, Adam. But I will say this. If anybody wants to come and come to the store and discuss the... you know, the variant stuff, or even the San Diego Comic-Con. Come on by anytime.
All right, well, thank you very much, Richard.
No problem. Anytime, guys.